have spent the last 45 minutes trying to get ourselves organized. No time for makeup today. No, just, there were many technological challenges.
Yeah, just
met.
A little look behind the curtain. We have computer issues. We're hoping we don't have phone issues because heaven knows we love to get your phone calls. So you know the number, 312-981-7200. You can text us as well. But in the meantime, just listen to us when we're not on WGNAM.
Kathy and Judy, I'm hearing from a lot of people in here are wondering about the business lunch today.
Oh, that's right.
How will they be able to listen to the business
lunch?
How
will they, Steve?
Well, on the World Wide Web.
At WGNplus.com.
Or WGNradio.com. Isn't that where you are?
I thought it was WGN Plus
okay,
where you got the stream.
We
have
plus,
no idea.
Is the plus a plus sign? Or
look,
do you
just stay.
It?
When the women are done, just stay. I'll
just
be
stay
there.
With Steve.
We have to get them there first. Let's give them the right address.
Right. And there's additionally, there is some question as to whether or not that particular system is operative.
Right.
So we.
Kristen, what's the word?
What?
Kristen, what's the word?
Can you hear me?
Yes, yeah. Now I can hear you in my
yes,
headset.
But you sound very sad.
Well, the website is WGNplus.com.
Right, WGNplus.com.
And I just got word from our magical wizard, Bill Murdoch, that we are all good, no technical problems, and we will be on the stream at 10:30.
At 10:30? Oh, I thought it was 10:45.
Well, 10:45. I'll check on that.
I think it's 10:45.
I don't want to hear any of this. And speaking of hearing, Judy?
We promoted something that I had never read about. And I was saying to Kathy, there's a new disease. Which
actually, I think it's an old disease.
Well, they haven't written a lot about it.
Okay.
It's called misophonia. And it's when it is almost physically unbearable for you to hear certain sounds. And generally, people that are really, stuck with this particular disease or sensitivity, there's a lot of sounds that they can't hear. We got a letter from a guy named, I believe it was Hal, that said it's sniffling, crunching, slurping, and gum cracking.
And a host of other everyday noises.
Right. Drive him nuts. So we wanted to hear from you about, I'm not saying you got misophonia, but one can have misophonic indications or something.
Well,
and I know what mine is.
What's that?
Mine is not, like Lou was asking Lindsay, does she clip her nails? And I don't mind if somebody clips their fingernails, but toenails.
How would you even know? How would you even
There's
know?
There's no way to know except if you see it.
Oh, well, of course.
And then you know it's a big toenail sword flying through the air near to you. And
oh, you mean the cut piece?
Yeah. This started when I was in New York, and one of my roommates would sit on the couch and pick at her feet, and one of us said, why don't you cut your toenails? And she chose to do it in the living room. And when we'd be asleep, she would cut her toenails, and she wouldn't put the little crumbles in a Kleenex.
Okay, how fast did her toenails grow? Because if she did it in the living room, and then she did it again while you were asleep.
No. Well, there's like a month that passes.
Ah, okay. Okay. Just say, wow, them some fast-growing toenails.
And they're grody, too.
Right. But for you, it was less about the sound than it was about the debris.
No, it was that sound. And because I knew what was coming after that, flying debris, you know. And, I mean, has that ever bothered you?
No.
But it's only your toenails that are being cut?
I tend not to cut my toenails in front of other people. and
not on an airplane.
Not on an airplane, not, you know, in the company of others. So I would be annoyed if I were in a, I would say a social situation, but in a situation with other people, and that was the point at which somebody thought it was a good idea to take off their socks and clip their toenails.
But is that the manners of it or the sound of it?
It's the manners of it. Yeah.
Okay.
It's just the manners of it. So 312-981-7200.
Don't you have one?
I've got one.
Okay.
It is the sound of toothbrush bristles on your teeth. And so I have to have a sonic or an electric toothbrush because you don't get the same sound as just a regular handheld toothbrush.
What happens?
It's kind of crazy.
Do you just get the chills or?
Yes, it's like nails on a chalkboard reaction to it. I have to leave the room if somebody else is brushing their teeth with a non-electric toothbrush.
How about if you're brushing your teeth?
It's the worst experience. It's like the worst, 2 minutes of my life if I don't have an electric toothbrush and I have to buy it.
Okay. Do you think the sound of the electric toothbrush then overrides the sound of the bristles on your teeth?
Yep. And also the fact that it moves so fast that it's not, I just don't feel like it's that scraping.
Oh my God.
Even talking about it makes me squirm.
312-981-7200 is our number. This is Kim. Hi, Kim.
Hi, girls. How are you?
Fine. You can relate to misophonia.
Well, sort of. I don't get physically nauseous or anything like that, but I change TV channels when I hear people talking with that heavy S, I can't even do it. That really heavy.
S meaning the letter S, as in Sam.
The letter S. Well, they go like that. No, S.
Well, F as in Frank?
S as in Sam.
S as in Sam.
Heavy S's. Yeah, Verita Samblin, who I love, on Channel 5, she does this all the time, and it just pierces my heart. And there's an actress in that TV show, Cougar Town, the blonde girl, Busy Phillips.
Yeah.
Does that heavy S thing, and I just want to stab her right through the TV. it just makes my teeth chatter.
So if somebody... does this get you like that?
The regular S, like I'm saying, hello, it's the sunny, beautiful day.
Right.
That is fine. But if you say it's a sunny, I can't even do it. It's such an obscene sound. The real heavy, they call it a sibilant S or something like that.
There are hard versions of other letters like G and J with G. But
no, this one, turn on Channel 5 Morning News and you will hear it. And I love this girl. I really do. I love Channel 5. Can I say that on your station?
Sure.
We're kind of the Channel 9 folk. But
I know. Well, I haven't heard this on Channel 9, so you're still aces with me.
Okay.
But that heavy-duty S, it just stabs right. It goes right through my eyeballs. Unbelievable.
But there are not other sounds like our girlfriend Hal, who can't stand sniffing, crunching, slurping, gum cracking.
Well, gulping. I have an issue with gulping. You have a heavy swallow,
Yeah.
And that noise going down your throat, that I associate with bad manners. I could not explain why, but it just destroys me.
So if you're drinking a soda and you make that snarly sound at the end when you're trying to get the last of your soda up, is that...
No, that's a not slurp. Gulping. That doesn't bother me.
A slurp.
But you know how when you're swallowing and air goes down along with the liquid and you make that heavy thud? I can't even describe it. It's so silly.
Very. Well, that's exactly what we're talking about. We appreciate the call, Kim.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Keep listening.
I will.
And our girlfriend Hal, who had emailed us about this, says that he is noticing in commercials now that they emphasize sounds, those kinds of
like eating crunchy cereal.
Crackling, gurgling sounds much more because there's some feeling in advertising that they get the listener's attention more than, more than music or conversation. This is Annette. Hi, Annette.
Hi, girlfriends.
You know about this because?
My daughter has been diagnosed with misophonia, and she's 23 years old. The best kid in the world. And I get really tearful about it because it's been so hard on us as a family. We can't have meals together. I can't have china or glassware in the house. We use everything on plastic. When I cook, I have to be very, very careful about stirring in pots because she has such acute hearing that it makes her crazy. She goes from 0 to 10 in an instant.
Does she function in society? Does she have a job?
She has a job. She has a full-time job. She has great friends. She is musically able to hear things that you and I wouldn't be able to hear.
You mean if she was listening to a symphony, she'd be able to hear the different parts in a way she'd be able to pull them apart?
Here's what she can do. She's an accompanist. So she plays piano for a living for auditions and for folks that are trying out or performances, high school performances, things like that.
Okay.
She can transform a song from what she's seeing on the page to what she's hearing from the singer. So if the singer's off a little bit, she can immediately make that transition. It's like crazy miracle kind of stuff. But she can't have dinner with us. And she has to be, you know, she has to be very careful with her friends.
Can she have dinner with other people?
She can, but she has to have an iPod with her at all times.
And have the earbuds in.
Have the earbuds in. So when we have family meals, Thanksgiving, things like that, she always has her iPod with her. And my in-laws and my mom especially had great difficulty with it, but it was the only way we could keep her there so that she could black out. She has, when she was diagnosed by an audiologist in Highland Park, and she said the only thing that we can do for you is to limit the triggers or play what's called gray noise on your iPod. She can download gray noise. It kind of sounds like C.
Sure. Background noise.
So,
yes.
Right.
Okay.
But I can't have a clock in the house.
Wow. Is it time for her to get her own apartment?
She does have her own place. She does have her own roommates who are just lovely human beings. But she's very frank with them and says, if I have to leave, it's not, I don't want to be hurtful.
Right.
I just have to leave.
Get out of here.
Right.
Okay.
Because her brain, the way her brain functions is her hearing goes automatically to panic in her brain. Whereas you and I have a way that we can.
Serious.
It is.
Fabulous.
It is.
Yeah.
But it's unfortunate that things like clock ticking makes her crazy. The garbage man. When the garbage man comes down the street, she has to leave the house because she can't deal with that rumbling. And
yeah.
It's really, really, really hard. But I've been so grateful to find out about it and grateful to have support groups that we can go to. And she's been asked to go to Misophonia conferences.
Wow.
To help people.
Well, we're glad you were listening, and I hope we don't grate on her hearing.
Oh, no. She's doing very well. Okay, thank you very much for bringing awareness to this.
Absolutely. Thank you, Annette. We'll be back with more of your calls at 312-981-7200. You can text, too.
Pick your sign, we stop, children, what's that sign?
Oh, Kristen, you're the best.
So we're talking about misophonia, which is a severe sensitivity to certain sounds. And Marianne is here. She has this, as does her mom. Hey, Marianne.
Hi.
Hi. What makes you crazy to hear?
Ice chewing. But really, pretty much any sort of mouth noise at all drives me nuts. And you were talking about the commercials on television that are doing the crunching sounds now. Mm-hmm. I have figured out the first two or three notes of the commercial, and I can't get to the remote fast enough to hit the mute button.
When did you get diagnosed with this?
I was never diagnosed. I have had it all my life. My mother had it. She's no longer with us. My sisters have it, and I have passed it on to my daughter. So, and I have done research on it, and it can run in families, and it is typically females.
Is it only ice chewing, or if somebody started chewing on corn chips next to you, would that make you crazy?
Oh, my God. Drives me nuts. And with me, it triggers like a rage.
Wow.
It's common. It's very, very common that is one reaction,
Marianne,
that people can have to it.
How about if you're eating Doritos?
It doesn't bother me when I do it.
But if somebody next to you is doing it, it just makes you crazy.
I get up and leave fast as I can.
Have you ever gone to a support group?
No, I haven't. And you know what? The older I get, the worse it is. I don't ever remember it being this bad when I was younger. Mm-hmm. But the older I get, the worse it is. But there's really nothing. And I feel better knowing, well, I feel sorry for that lady before me, talking about her daughter. It's not that bad. But it's crazy. And you don't realize how many people have got it until you start talking about it.
Amazing. Well, and we don't realize how many people have it. Marianne, thank you for your call. We have a couple other callers, and maybe we'll try to get to them before we go onto the stream, if they can hold.
WGNPLUS.com.
Right. This is the reminder, kids. Download the WGN Radio app onto your smartphone if you don't have it, or go to your computer or your laptop, or even to your smartphone if you can get the internet on there. You can listen to us after 10:45 on WGNPLUS.com, PLUS.com, or on your WGN Radio app on your smartphone. Decker, she's the best. Sounds, we're talking about a physical issue called, Judy, how do you pronounce it? Misophonia. And it's an issue that some people have with hearing particular sounds. And we're getting some interesting texts. One of our texters says that the sound that she can't stand is Gloria Estefan's voice. Go figure. This is caller Nora. Hi, Nora.
Hello.
Hi, how do you relate to this?
My son has misophonia. He's 23 years old. He was diagnosed probably around the age of 13. There was one audiologist out in Oregon that had heard of this, and we did all this over the phone. And he started exhibiting symptoms at around age 2.
Massive temper tantrums.
Oh, yes.
Massive temper tantrums
to noises that you didn't even hear. And, you know, so we took him to therapy because we were told we were spoiling him. He's a brat. He's trying to control the household, you know, all sorts of things. So from age 2-3 up until age 13, he thought he was crazy. And it was very isolating, very few friends growing up. Still to this day, very few friends.
Certainly
so
at two, it would be difficult for him to verbalize what's happening. As he grew older, was he able to say, for instance, at 5 or 6 years old, Mommy, the sound of chewing hurts my ears?
He would say, stop breathing so loud. Stop breathing so loud. Don't make that noise.
Wow. And
it was not a noise that we thought we were actually making, but
he was hypersensitive.
Yeah, his hearing is completely normal. They tested all the hearing.
How does he cope now? Specific noises.
Well, we haven't had a meal with him since he was about 4 years old, and he wears headphones all the time.
Does he wear the headphones with the gray noise, as a previous caller mentioned?
He uses music mostly. He doesn't do the gray noise. But he has seen therapists, audiologists, psychiatrists. They've tried medication. And up until 5 years ago, it had no name. Everybody who suffers with this feels like you're crazy, and they're alone. So the fact that this is now coming to the
attention, forefront,
people are talking about it, people are feeling not alone. There are so many Facebook groups that it's just amazing the information support you can get there.
Has he been able to go to college with an iPod or a phone?
Yes, yes. He did it just because he could hide it. He was a student athlete, so he could, they would let him do certain things, not go to class, take tests, you know, use a different room. But the groups on Facebook really, really help with that. But the interesting thing about misophonia that I haven't heard yet is that primarily the triggers for these people are the closest relations or the closest relationships that they have. So it's your family, your friends, your spouse, your girlfriend.
So there's some sort of emotional component.
They don't know. It's an autonomic reflex. It's fight or flight.
What does that mean?
You're annoyed. That means it's fight or flight. So it's like if you heard a gunshot, you would react.
Right.
That's what happens to misophonia people. When they hear a noise, a trigger noise, it's fight or flight, and it's usually rage in what they feel.
That's what one of our listeners says. That's what she feels.
Yes, and it's scary because my son has told me about visualizing just wanting to punch the person who's making the offending noise. he would never do that, but he can visualize it. That's the rage that they feel.
I think a previous caller said she would stab somebody in the heart.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a pretty violent reflex.
I had read, in doing research early on in this, that there was one girl, she was about 22 at the time. She had asked her doctor to make her deaf, do a surgery to make her deaf so she wouldn't have to suffer with this anymore.
Amazing.
It's a life-destroying condition.
Well, Nora, we're glad you were listening, and we hope that you'll continue to listen. When we go on the stream, will you be listening to us on your iPhone or on your Samsung smartphone or on your computer?
On my Samsung phone.
Excellent.
And you know how to do it.
Yes.
You have the WGN app, so you and the hundreds of thousands of other listeners can be listening online or on your phone. Nora, thank you so much for your call. This is a caller who, says he is John Williams. Hi, John.
This may seem insensitive, but a lot of my listeners have asked their doctors to make them deaf so that they can't hear my show.
John, you're going to be connecting with us in a little bit, right?
I'm not doing my show this morning, or this afternoon, actually. I'm in town, but I'm in town for an event that I'm emceeing at 1 o'clock.
So Mike Steven is sitting in for you.
I know. Mike's terrific. I'm a fan of his, so I'll be in good hands there. But,
All right.
Come and play on the stream with you?
Come on over and see us in the studio. That would be great to have you here.
And then we'll be on the stream?
Yes, we will. Or on your WGN phone, on the WGN app on your phone, or whatever. So we hope you'll all stick around. Northwestern basketball is coming up. We will continue to be here on your smartphone, on your computer at WGNplus.com. There's still a Kathy and Judy show, even though it's in kind of a different format than you're used to. We're going to stop for just momentarily, turn things over to Dave Annett for Northwestern basketball, and then we will still be here. Hang in there, girlfriends.
Amazingly tenacious.
Kathy and Judy back, and we are on the stream. We hope a bunch of you are as well. We want another name for the stream. We want to call it online or something else because we think that may be confusing to a lot of you. We've been talking about misophonia, and is that misophonia music?
Sure.
This is Joan. Hi, Joan.
Hi. I hope this furniture company is listening to what I'm saying to you. There's a furniture commercial where the couple's sitting on the sofa looking at a coffee table making negative comments about it, and all of a sudden they start to gag as though they're going to get sick to their stomach.
Oh, my God.
It's terrible, and it makes me want to do the same thing. I have to put it on mute and turn it away from the screen.
I've never seen that
commercial. Oh, it's on Channel 7 frequently.
Wow.
It's one of those newer furniture stores, not Value, the other one. There's another one.
I know. Speaking of furniture stores, one of our girlfriends, I can't remember if it was Kristen or Beth, once posted and said, it's so hilarious that Bill and Juliana Rancic want us to think they buy their furniture at Ashley Furniture.
It's got to be Beth.
Was that you or was that
Beth?
No,
that was Beth.
That was Beth, yeah. So, Joan, thank you for the call.
I have a question for Joan.
Yeah.
Okay. Joan, you said you were watching on ABC when the stupid commercial was on.
Right.
Did you watch American Crime the other night?
No, I don't watch any of that stuff. I usually turn to other cable channels.
Oh, this is an excellent new one. It just started.
There's a lot of new ones.
It's not my style.
Okay. All right, well, thanks.
I like 19 Kids and Counting and The Little Couple and things like that.
Okay, Joan, I have a question about 19 Kids and Counting.
Yes.
I know a lot of people think it's a wonderful, wonderful family. It just seems to me that in the context of a family of 19 children, there's going to be one child who says, you know, I don't want to live like this. I'd like to go to college. How would you feel like, see, I'm part of a group that wants to save Ginger, that thinks Ginger should be able to go off to college. And
maybe she will.
How would you feel about that?
Whatever. It's their life, and I enjoy watching it. I haven't seen anything that insults me or goes against my you know, beliefs or that. So I watch it. I mean, he's got a good thing going there. He has some property. He has some real estate. He helps his kids out as much as he can.
He makes a zillion bucks from the show.
I know. But the way they plan their weddings, I mean, they have elaborate gown, but then they're going to serve, like, hot dogs at the wedding.
Right, 2,000 people for ice cream.
Yeah, why are you inviting 2,000 people or 1,000? I mean,
Joan, do you have children? Do you have children?
Yes, I have a son.
Is he married?
No, not yet.
Okay. When he finds his person,
yes.
Would you be happy if they just did side hugs until the day they were married?
He comes from a family with Polish ancestry, and there's nothing like a Polish wedding with good food.
I don't mean wedding. I just mean in the Duggar family.
Yes.
Their deal is that when they get engaged, then they can hold hands. And until they're married, they don't kiss or they don't hug front on.
Right.
How would you feel about your son having that kind of relationship?
I can't see that happening to him at all.
Right. In the real world.
And they have a particular, you know, when they come and they greet, usually they, like a friend of theirs, they hug sideways, like shoulder to shoulder. However, when the future mother-in-law of one of the daughters came, Michelle and the other lady, they hugged face forward like you or I are accustomed to doing.
Right, but that wasn't considered to be sexual with the kids.
No, I'm not talking about sexual. I'm talking about, since you brought up hugging, their style of hugging, even with the kids, is always sideways, even with the parents and the children.
It's kind of sideways.
It's not like when you see your grandchild or your daughter and you hug them, you know, you go face forward.
Right.
They don't seem to do that. But when the future mother-in-law was over, she was very warm and cordial to her, and they hugged face forward.
Yeah.
But otherwise, as a family, they don't even do that. But they are very close. I mean,
I just wonder how it would be to be in that family and realize when you're 7 years old that you're gay. That would be hard.
If there would be any tolerance of it?
Oh my!
I have no
goodness.
Idea.
Of course.
Are they
no.
a certain
three words, Kathy?
What?
Turn it off.
Right. Well, that's what I do with that commercial.
The gagging commercial, right.
Like a light switch, it goes click.
Turn it off. Turn it off. you mean for the kid? I thought you meant I should just turn the show off.
There's double meaning.
I think the watching of the Duggars has given me a sense of, we always used to laugh and say, people used to call us up, well, they still do, and say, I hate your show, you're stupid, you're whatever, long list of adjectives. And I could never understand why people would want to listen to something that made them so consistently crazy.
And now here you are.
I know.
Right?
So when
on
I'm
the
watching
stream.
The Duggars, what?
On the stream.
Yeah.
WGNplus.com.
And screaming at the television.
You do that too, don't you? You talk out loud to the TV.
Do.
I can see it.
Yeah.
You don't.
She does.
I do.
Totally. Are you kidding?
How often in one session of the Duggars do you suppose I say, oh, for Pete's sake?
I've never watched the Duggars, but I didn't know that you would say it out loud.
The concept of making a commitment, a lifetime commitment, and in their case, there's no other option, to somebody whose mouth has never touched yours. How? I think there is totally such a thing as sexual incompatibility. And I think many of us who have had multiple, let's say, dating partners know that some people, you kiss them and it's like, oh, holy smokes. And other people, you kiss them and go, ow. And it's, so kissing is just the gateway to other things.
But
if you don't like the way somebody kissed, what?
Doesn't mean the rest of it's bad. We've talked about being a bad kisser and how you have to gently say, not like that, like this.
I feel like sometimes if there's no spark sexually, it ain't worth it.
It's not going to happen.
No matter what, you can't teach. It's just not a thing that's you can make happen.
Exactly. So I just think of these kids, and they're 19 or 20 when they're making this commitment, and at least the one couple chose to do their first kiss in private, which I think was nice.
But you got to see it on TV?
No, I mean, I think the fact that they said, for them, this was about as intimate as having intercourse for the
time. Someone said to me, you'll be getting a survey following this.
Oh, all the time. Oh, right. That's all you
do. If we don't receive a 10, we might as well get an F. So it would be really great if you could give us all 10s.
And do you?
Of course.
Well,
she does.
I haven't gotten the survey yet.
You have to go online.
Well, I'm not going to seek the survey out.
Oh, okay.
For sure.
Okay.
They did a fine job. They were a 10, but I don't want to have to, you know, I told the person on the phone and they didn't ask me for numbers. I said it was great service.
And and for them that's not enough. Their corporate office has to hear that it was great service.
Right.
I think.
It's hard.
Steve, you look puzzled.
I am so uncomfortable in here right now.
I know. Isn't it weird?
No, it's because the lights are off. We're on Michigan Avenue. Can I open the windows?
Well, Judy doesn't like the...
She's 2,000 miles away and still telling us what to do.
Remember? My seeing thing cracked.
Okay, you can open the windows.
No.
Is it too romantic for you in here?
I can't see.
Are you afraid I'm going to try and kiss you?
Again? No, okay, if it's for Judy, that makes sense.
It's just for the video thing.
Okay.
But the video thing is messed up anyway. I could have said that, couldn't I?
Yeah.
We're on the stream.
I mean, I'm glad to know.
You can say whatever you want, Kathy O'Malley.
Don't get her started. She was threatening.
Like I could say, among all the things that are effed up.
No, I'm secretly relieved because I'm sitting here and I'm really uncomfortable. And I'm thinking.
Because of the lighting?
It's so dark. And I was looking forward to being in the studio with the windows and. And I'm thinking, wow, do I know Kathy? Am I this wrong? Because I thought you'd be, like, open with the lights.
Yeah, it's just difficult for Judy when there's a bright light behind me.
I feel like I'm watching Birdman again or something.
On the screen. All right, no.
I really wouldn't wish that on anybody.
All right. Now, are we going to do a newscast? Do you want to do a newcast?
Well,
we don't have to.
I'm told it's up to you, so it's up to you.
I don't know. Is there anything fun in the news? Could you do a newscast with just silly news?
Well, Minnie Minoso's funeral's today.
Okay, keep moving.
How many times have I led into the news with some wacky comment? And Steve's first story is 14 children were killed today.
Minnie,
in a bus crash.
Minnie had a wonderful life, though. But his funeral's today.
But we don't know how long it was. What's up with that?
Minnie Minoso.
Is that about Cuban birth records?
I think so.
Okay.
Or baseball players. You know, there are a lot of times there were eras when they would lie about their age.
To be older or younger?
Younger. Because they'd be more attractive to the teams if they were younger, right?
You don't want an old guy starting.
Right. You don't want to sign a 30-year-old guy.
So he may have been 28 when he started, but he said he was 20.
Right. That's.
So he may have been 100.
Or two, right.
Instead of just 90?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
So there you go. Little interesting news.
Well, is that it? Is that the newscast, or will you do other stuff?
Well, do you want to do, I mean...
Sure, throw some other stuff in there, and we'll interact.
So Ernie Banks, you know, the Ernie Banks situation, too, they're fighting over his estate in court. And the funeral home that handled his body after his death said that they were owed $35,000. And they're like, you know, while you guys are fighting, no one's paying us. So that kind of was a filing yesterday in court.
How much does a funeral cost?
$35,000.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Well, there might have been some extra things. I don't know. But anyway, the Cubs are going to pick that up. So the Cubs announced that they're going to pay for that.
Okay.
Okay.
$35,000 for a funeral?
That is not the subject of the news story. It's
like
I'm
sorry.
The Cubs are going to pay it and that it was under dispute.
But everybody reads it or hears it and goes...
$35,000 for a funeral?
What do you think a funeral really costs?
It depends on your casket. I mean, I don't know if he had one of those, like a casket with the Cubs logo on it or something that cranks the price up.
It's too classy.
But just preparation of a body and... Well, we have funeral directors who listen, maybe not under these circumstances.
Well, they did a lot. I think they had extra visitation. You know, there was a lot of ceremony involved in this. They probably had to bring, I don't know.
Anybody who's paid a funeral bill in the last year, call us at 312-981-7200 and tell us what that bill was. Back to you, Steve.
But only if you were known as Mr. Something and a Chicago icon.
Oh, like Mr. Aluminum Siding or something.
I think this was an extraordinary situation.
Okay.
Don't think they should have to defend that.
Okay.
And You know, they're marking the 50th anniversary of the walk across the Edmund Pettus Bridge today.
Yes.
In Selma.
Yes.
Former President Bush is there. President and Mrs. Obama are there.
Okay.
There's a bit
is
of,
Brian Williams there?
He said he was going to be there. But
no,
I haven't
he's
seen
at the march
said he was
but he thinks he's there.
Listen, damn it, I'm in my new set.
I'm sorry, Steve. It's a much more casual newscast.
Well, I don't know how much more casual we can make it.
Okay. All right, back to you, Steve.
And so there was a bit of a kerfuffle because some of the Republican leadership in the House, they weren't going to go, which is a bit of a bad sign. But that's going on today.
Did they say why they weren't going to go?
Well, I mean, it wasn't a singular thing. Ask me again.
A question in the newscast.
What was
Did they
question?
Say why they were allowed to go?
You know, I think that's an inappropriate question.
Thank you, Steve.
I think it was not a collective thing. It just schedules or, you know, but it's kind of bad form, I think.
Were they from the South?
Well, we're looking at the leadership, right? Speaker Boehner, other leaders. Some leaders are. Is it Scalise is from Louisiana? He's not going to be there. But anyway, that's going on, and that will be. It's a feel-good story. I mean, it was a terrible day that day, but look what's come from it.
Well, and certainly, if for anybody who's seen Selma, that is a pretty good. No, I mean that's how it was.
I was thinking of that today because I got an email, some marketing thing about Selma coming out on DVD. They must be loving this day.
Yeah,
it's a huge marketing day for them.
Well, you know, their movie, in many ways, and I'm ashamed to say this, was the one who kind of taught me about what all that was. And I go back to the fact it was 1965.
Yes, the 50th anniversary.
Oh, yes. Math was not my strong suit. But thank you for the help, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have been getting ready to go out into the real world from college, and I absolutely, and I say this with shame, did not pay very much attention to this at all.
Okay, and remember that when you decry the fact that most kids are getting their news from Jon Stewart now, because maybe you weren't doing much better either. I think generation, we always say, oh, these people today. Well, when you were young yourself, maybe.
And I think college-age kids now are much less inclined to be hyper-aware of what's going on in the news than they will be when they're 25 or 30.
Oh, okay.
Well,
sure,
when you're in college,
your world is small.
Right.
It's like a different, it's like a different life.
But I bring it all up because there's been a lot of news, obviously, about police-involved shootings of young African-American men in this country. And, you know, overwhelming majority are certainly defensible, I mean, I can say. But there was another one in Madison, Wisconsin last night, and I don't know. I think it's one that we're going to hear more about. We don't know too much about it yet. It was a 19-year-old man who apparently was running into traffic and things like that, and then he went back to his apartment and police followed him. But what is striking about it is the police chief up there is saying that the 19-year-old man was shot after he assaulted police. And then they said, well, did he have a weapon? And the police chief says, I don't know.
Oh.
So that's a tough one. I'm not sure the details there, but you would think if a man is shot dead, there's either a weapon nearby.
There has to have been some kind of immediate threat.
Right. So we'll see. I think that's probably when it's going to be around a little bit more.
Okay. Yeah. And that's a whole other topic altogether.
As long as we did the news.
Yeah. Are we out of the news?
Well, we need to do traffic.
Oh, Beyonce's here. I heard somebody the other
thing.
I heard somebody the other day referred. What did they call it? The JBI.
Oh, Jane Burn.
Is that what we're calling it now?
It's kind of easing towards that nickname.
Rather than the circle, we're just calling it the Jane Burn Interchange or the JBI.
Yep. That's nice. So something was named after her for 6 weeks, and then she lost
it. Then she died.
Jane Burn, though, but trust me, it's going to get abbreviated as time goes by.
Sure.
Yep.
What else is going on in traffic?
Well, their car fire on the inbound side of the Eisenhower, still heavy delays there. Two left lanes are blocked as a result of that, seeing stop-and-go traffic now from the tri-state to Harlem, and then people on the outbound side of the Ike are slowing down to take a look at it. So we're seeing some heavy delays between Austin and Des Plaines. Also, another car fire, this one eastbound I-80, right at the tri-state. That one should be struck pretty soon. And then a couple of other hot spots in Aurora. There was an earlier accident accident there at Farnsworth. Right now, Farnsworth is blocked between Frontage and Grove, and that's because ComEd is on the scene trying to fix electricity. Apparently, a pole was struck down during
that
accident, and that's going to be closed until 5 this evening.
Okay.
That's traffic.
All right. Thank you, Beyonce. What?
Kathy, I'm trying to call you now. This is what goes on behind the scenes.
Excuse me, how many years have you been on the radio?
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, we could take a commercial break if
it's
we wanted
not
to.
What? No, that's all right. We can. what, Steve?
What comes after traffic?
Back to you, Steve.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Partly cloudy today with a high
weather.
In the...
The answer is weather.
Weather.
Right, okay.
Anyway, it's nice out, okay?
It's getting nicer.
We're in the 40s, and we're going to get to the 50s later.
Quit wanking, right.
Right, and
okay.
So we have broken winter's back. Once again, we win.
Oh.
Winter is dead.
The terrorists have lost this one.
Right, back
All right.
to you two.
We were talking about the cost of Ernie Banks' funeral. I thought $35,000 was an outrageous amount for a funeral, and asked for someone who's paid for a funeral recently to give us a call. So Barbara has. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, and I love your show, by the
thank
way.
Thank you.
I'm so glad you ladies are back.
Sorry about the loss of your mom.
Oh, well, thank you. She lived a long, full life, so it's no big... I mean, it's fine.
I think a lot of... Was she in her 80s or 90s?
90s, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. Long, full life.
Good run.
Probably by the time... You know, she died, she was ready, and...
Absolutely.
And then you had
Absolutely.
A funeral for her.
Yeah, my brothers and sisters and I paid for it, and it was like about $15,000.
Okay, she had a casket, she wasn't cremated.
Yeah, but we bought not the least expensive, but very close to the least
okay.
expensive.
Okay, did they try and talk you up a little bit?
No, not at all.
Okay,
no.
They were
Would
great.
You be offended if we asked what the least expensive was? You didn't buy the least expensive, but do you know
well,
what the least
expensive
like was?
Well, it looked like it was bought at... what's the store where you go and you buy the furniture and you have to put it together?
IKEA.
IKEA. It looked like it was from IKEA.
Oh, really modern, kind of sleek.
Yeah. It was white, some kind of
formica.
Cheap wood, you know?
It's nice, so the gossips were saying.
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
How much was it?
I don't remember the exact thing, but I'll tell you one thing we didn't do.
What?
Was, among a lot of other things, but... To put the ad in the Tribune.
And you didn't do that because it was too expensive?
No, it was really expensive.
How expensive? $200?
No. It was for the simple ad, for the simple death notice. It was at least 500, maybe more.
Holy smokes.
Times are tough in the publishing industry.
Yeah, so. No kidding, because they're not getting the classified advertising anymore. Wow.
I'm not criticizing.
So she's and she's buried somewhere in a cemetery, so they had to tend to that.
She owned a lot, but you had to pay another $500 to open it up.
Meaning dig the hole.
Dig the hole.
Right, okay.
Yeah, which we watched as they did it, and it took them about 5 minutes.
It's not like six guys with shovels.
No.
It's with a front claw guy, a machine.
It was last February, so it was, pardon my, I almost said the word that I'm not supposed to say.
You can.
Everything.
We're on the stream, Barbara, say it.
It was effing cold.
Okay. We're all afraid to say it. Barbara, would you be offended to hear that word on the radio, on the stream?
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
All right.
You had
so
your
anyway,
chance,
so,
Kathy. You didn't do it.
I'll do it before the end of the show. I'll do it so people won't even notice that I've done it.
You know, we didn't. We put a floral thing on top of the casket and
okay.
another thing next to it. So she had so many flowers in the end that it was crazy.
Did the 15 include a headstone?
No, we already had the stone from when my dad died.
Oh, so you just have to put her name on it.
Oh, yeah, that was another $300.
So they itemized everything so that you could see each nick that they were taking at you.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Wow.
Were you guys stunned?
And then, were we what?
Stunned.
Stunned.
I was floored.
Yeah.
Floored.
$15,000. Okay.
And then, you know, you think about it afterwards, and... I thought, I'm never spending that much on a funeral day. I don't care what they do to me. I'm
right.
going to donate my body to science.
Right. You still get the ashes. You can do something with the ashes.
Yeah.
And you don't, nobody comes and visit. Did people come, did you have an open casket, and did people go by and say, oh, your mother looks so beautiful?
Well, she did, because she didn't look well the last, about the last 6 months.
Did they walk by and say, hey, is that an imported casket?
No,
that's the IKEA. Flergnig model.
You guys ate
I abuse myself. Thank you, Barbara.
Well, listen, by the way, you have a wonderful day, and I just think that the American way of dying is
stupid.
Yes.
I do, too. And funeral directors are welcome to call us. Thank you, Barbara. When my mother died.
Yes.
Are you pointing your finger?
She
you
was. Know,
they, the funeral directors, and I got no big, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. With funeral directors. But they have such a strong lobby that even if you donate your body to science, a licensed funeral director has to pick up the body and drive it to the Anatomical Gift Association. And for that, I think the charge was $1,000.
But that was before Uber.
Coming up on the business lunch today.
Yes, Steve, coming up on
Steve,
the business
lunch.
You just
ran over my line.
I know. But
okay.
That
was so funny.
We're amusing ourselves.
Coming up on the business lunch, I'm going to have a segment about how you can actually make money at your parents' funeral.
Excellent. All right.
We don't have it booked yet, but I really want people to listen.
This is Jim. Hey, Jim.
Hey, gang. How we doing?
Good. Glad you're listening on your app.
Yes, I am.
All right.
My dad passed away a couple of years ago, and my mom just wanted a pretty simple funeral, and we coincidentally came across a coupon in one of those little mailer things, and it's 100% truth. This is a funeral home out in Elgin, and we did a real simple funeral cremation. We had a one-night visitation and everything, and it was just a little over $5,000.
And what did the coupon save you? Was it like a 10% or what?
Oh, boy. You know, honestly, I don't remember what the exact savings was, but I think it was like a package deal, and it said, you know, cremation services, yada, 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 for $5,000.
Okay, so your dad, did you have to buy, like, one of the big fancy caskets to have them cremated in?
No, they lay them out. I guess it'd be like a rental, essentially, a casket they have for, a visitation and stuff that, just gets reused.
Oh, okay, so you did have a visitation, but you didn't have a burial at the cemetery because your dad was cremated.
Correct. And that was the other, like, kind of expensive part is we actually got him an urn that was an MLB Chicago Cubs logo, all the nice fancy stuff. And that thing was, like, over $600 just for the urn.
For the logo.
Yep.
And he doesn't even get to keep it because he wasn't buried with it.
We actually still have it. My mom still got it with her, so.
Oh, so it was propped up sort of behind him in the casket.
Well, no, we didn't have the urn at the time. So the funeral was a regular service, open casket with the service. And then after we had him cremated, we searched online, and found this urn. And then he was put in that, afterwards.
So it was the urn that had the MLB logo on it.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. All right.
It had the Cubs logo and all that stuff on it, too.
All right, well, $5,000 for your dad's funeral with the coupon.
Yep, with the coupon.
Okay.
I would have appreciated that.
Love that.
Did you get points for open table, too?
Well, I did put it on my Visa, so, yeah, I did get
there
points.
There you go.
Oh, miles.
You got miles. 312-981-7200.
I would never not listen to this show.
Me neither.
It's talking about funerals and a new disease.
And there's laughing.
And there's laughter. And
this is Jeannie. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi.
Hi.
You and Steve are right. People walk past the casket and make comments about it because my dad wanted to be cremated, and so when we went to the funeral home, we told them, you know, we're going to do the cremation. He said, well, we can do this other casket for, like, you know, $9,000, but we're going to take him out of it because it can't be burned because it's, you know, part metal.
Right.
Or you can do this nice, beautiful, carved pine. I mean, it didn't look, but one of my husband's friends walked by and said, oh, such a simple casket for a simple man. And I'm thinking, oh, my God.
Such a simple casket for such a cheap family.
Exactly.
My understanding is that you can be cremated, as weird as this sounds, in a cardboard box. That you're
not in Illinois.
Not in Illinois?
Illinois right. demands that you have a casket.
To be cremated in?
To be cremated, yes.
That's
and so that has to be the funeral directors. I know I'm going to hear from funeral directors.
Come on, Bruce Rondo, you want to shake things up?
Yeah, come on.
It was ridiculous. I thought, we're paying, you know, granted a pine box is way cheaper than all those other vaults and everything, but I said, we're paying for this, and then it's just going to be ashes. This is ridiculous.
How much is the pine box?
I think it was something like $1,300,
$1,800,
somewhere like that.
For heat's sake.
That is insane.
So you know how to end this. You have to get the green people on board, right?
Yeah.
Because that'll end it. They've got the power.
Yeah, but how do you? I'll bet you with the green stuff. If they open up a thank you for the call, Jeannie. I'll bet you if they open up a green burial site in Illinois, that the Funeral Directors Association, the lobby for the funeral directors, is so strong that you will have to have the body transported from wherever they died, hospital, home, whatever, to the green burial site by a funeral director.
By green, I just mean it's bad.
It would be cool if it was on dry ice, because then you would get that weird smoke thing.
That'd be a little scary. Yeah, the widow was, you know, sobbing and saying he feels cold. But ultimately, you know,
Oh, wow.
Well, wasn't she the boss of the funeral?
Yeah.
This is on
TV. I mean,
I
don't know how.
Oh, it was on TV.
Carol
MTV.
Wasn't at the funeral.
I mean, it was MTV. It was public TV. It was like a documentary.
Okay, that counts as TV. Right.
I don't know how they got permission to pick up the body, because they even said, were they going to do arrest us? Because the hospital released
exactly.
the body to them.
Exactly. Thank you, Jill. We're glad you were listening.
Thank you. I
mean, my house is out in the woods, and I'm sure there's a law that would prevent my family from digging a hole out in the woods and dropping me into it. But it seems like that's what people used to do, right, John?
Yeah, you ought to be able to do that. I'm completely on board. Whatever you say.
What are you really thinking about?
How did they not?
I don't know. How did we get into this? I can't remember. And I know exactly what
Ernie
I wanted
Banks
to talk about.
$35,000 funeral is how we got into it.
$35,000. Ernie Banks, right.
You are
that's
welcome.
Steve's news story. Yeah, thank you, Steve. I need to talk about an issue, and I'm glad to have two men here to help address it. And you girlfriends can call at 312-981-7200. Joe Biden has to be stopped. He cannot continue to handle women.
Who did he touch now?
Everybody.
Yeah.
I saw a video the other day of a young woman, probably 12 or 13, and I don't know whose child she was, and she was at the White House, and Joe Biden was standing behind her. He put his hands on her shoulders, and he put his face right down next to her
ear.
Well,
that was the big one. She was
and
much...
you could just see this child kind of going, ew.
That's what he did with the new secretary's wife.
That's who she's talking about. I think it's the secretary's daughter, wasn't it?
Maybe.
Secretary of Defense.
She looked very young, but it was his wife that he was fondling.
She wasn't a child.
Fondling.
She was not a child. No,
yes.
No, she was not fondling.
Well, when you put your hands on somebody's
creepy.
Shoulder.
That's what he was doing. He was being creepy.
He was totally creeping.
No,
it was totally creepy, and I'm interested if I'm the only one that responds. There are videos out there of many times. Didn't he do this to Angela Merkel? It seems to me that there
was George Bush. That was
President okay,
Bush.
So it's a theme thing.
Oh, no, let me say this, because I know what you're saying, and on its surface it's creepy, and it's not right to say, well, it's just Joe being Joe or an older man being
right.
an older man, but it's the same thing he did to President Obama when the president signed the health care law. Remember, he leans in and he goes, this is a big effing deal. Remember that?
Sure.
Okay,
what did he say?
He said, I'm not doing that. This is a big effing deal.
And
oh,
so,
Lord, that's right. We're on the stream.
He just leaned forward and said, this is a big fucking deal.
There you go.
Right?
There you go.
Did it. Did it.
So what's your point, Steve?
Coming up on the business lunch today, John.
And the John Williams Show.
Perfect opening. You handed it to me.
No.
Okay.
He's inappropriate. So he gets in close. He's a glad hander. He's a juggler. You know what I mean? I mean, I agree with you. It was weird. The look on her face, it was uncomfortable. But I think you have to consider whether there's sexual creepiness or malice there, and I think there's none.
That is not the only occasion, though.
No.
I saw a video the other day of many.
He would do it to me.
I just googled creepy Joe Biden.
Yes.
The images are plenty.
Yeah.
People like Hillary, people like Barack.
I want to ask something.
Okay.
If Nancy Pelosi had done the same thing, would people be up in arms?
It's different.
Absolutely.
It's different.
So we had three different answers there. No, it's different. Absolutely. I would say no, they would not be. And it's not different. That's the thing. It's not different.
It's not a thing that women. First, you've heard about Joe Biden handling women.
I swear to God, you know, I don't listen to news that much.
Republicans are well informed.
Hey, Kathy.
Well, can I tell you something?
I'm pulling
one
you
more
in.
Thing?
What
can
Mike?
I ask you one question?
Sure.
Okay. With this thing with Netanyahu and Obama, I haven't heard the news really talking about it a lot, except for the first day. Just my own opinion.
Yeah.
Okay. But they talk about what's the name of the other Ferguson for months. They talk about that, and I just don't get it.
Well, I think the Netanyahu thing was in the headlines for about a week.
Yeah.
Well,
it was being discussed for some time.
I understand that, but it was discussed, but not after his speech. I didn't hear a thing. I really didn't.
Hmm.
I listened to the news.
Mike, where do you get most of your news from?
I get it on the internet mostly.
Okay.
Reading it, Yahoo News.
So you get it on the internet, but you haven't seen anything about Joe Biden being inappropriate.
I didn't see anything about that at all.
Okay.
I swear to God.
All right. Well, Mike, we're glad you're listening. How are you listening? Are you listening on your phone or on your computer?
On my wife's iPad.
Okay.
You know, and it's a good way to stay informed in the way you're informed is to listen to us.
To listen to Kathy and Judy.
Well, I'm glad you're on the air.
We are, too. Thank you, Mike.
There's so much to learn.
And we're glad you called.
Turn my daughter against me now. She's sending me pictures.
Of what?
Of Joe Biden.
Your daughter?
Yeah. Handling.
Apparently,
so she's listening.
Sniffing babies or something.
Yeah. I like to sniff babies.
Oh, you
brand new baby heads smell like sausage.
Okay, so if Joe
baby
Biden
heads.
If Joe
Got
Biden
a baby.
Wait, if Biden had just said that and took a whiff of some kid,
yeah,
you'd be sending him off to sea.
And then put brown mustard on them.
Right. Like kid.
All right. Now, Steve, do you want to do a newscast at 11:30? I mean, you don't have to if you don't want, but it's always a good kickoff for other conversation.
Sure.
While John handles his balls.
John, did you see it? So we're in the studio. We're in the studio working.
John cannot keep his hands off the balls in this studio.
So if you watch Cap and Haw on Comcast, we're in their studio. And part of the set is about 10 different sorts of sports balls.
Right.
And John walks in.
You remember John?
John walks in. The first thing he does is touch one of them, and then it's like Lucille Ball. They all start rolling.
They were arranged in a pile.
You can't put them back together.
I pulled the bottom Jenga out.
I thought he was making chocolates over there.
Oh, okay. All right. So back to you, Steve.
Right. So, one of the things we've been talking about is the funeral today for Minnie Minoso. That's coming up about a half an hour from now. Mayor Emanuel will be among those paying tribute at the service at Holy Family. Iraqi officials say Islamic State militants have begun demolishing the ancient archaeological site of Hatra in northern Iraq. Beautiful buildings. The people who live near there say they heard a couple of large explosions and then saw bulldozers tearing down the site.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it's another one. It's like a repeat of what happened with the Taliban in
Afghanistan.
I remember.
Yeah.
And they'll never be back. The Illinois Tollway says don't pay attention to those emails if they say indebted for driving on toll road or payment for driving on toll road. There have been some phishing scams involving people with iPasses.
Don't click on the link.
And they say don't be taken by that.
Okay.
Let's get a look at traffic now. Beyonce Fox is working harder than anyone else here.
I doubt it.
Except no one can hear her.
Oh, yeah. Three. There you go. The Kennedy Express lanes will be closed until noon today for maintenance. Heavy delays still on the inbound side of the Eisenhower at Harlem. That's because of that earlier fire. Outbound delays are from Austin to Des Plaines. Also on the inbound Ike, the left lane is closed between Ashland and Halstead until 5 a.m. Monday. That's part of the big construction project that's going to kick off Tuesday night on the Jane Byrne interchange. On the outbound Stevenson, two left lanes are blocked from Harlem to First Avenue through noon on Sunday, and that's because of bridge reconstruction. Right now, this report brought to you by Galaxy. At Galaxy, they'll help you make the house you have into the home you love. For a limited time, get free countertops plus up to $2,500 off materials. Free countertops plus up to $2,500 off materials. Contact Galaxy at 773-783-8300 or galaxyhome.com. Beyonce Fox, WGN Traffic Central.
The forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. Enjoy it. It's over. The winter is behind us now, partly cloudy.
We'll never have any more snow.
I talked to Tim McGill this week. He said it's over.
Okay.
It's pretty much.
Well, Tim says so.
We might have a couple of cold days, but nothing like we've had. And we're going to be in the 40s today, around 40 tomorrow, up to 50 by Tuesday. It is 43 degrees right now at O'Hare.
Excellent. I have so many branches in my yard.
Is the snow melted?
Like a Chase branch or a U.S. Bank branch? What
no,
are you talking about?
Tree branches.
Oh.
And I can't remember which. It was a very heavy snowstorm that just broke branches off like crazy. So that's going to be part of my spring plan.
We're going to talk about ways to prevent that coming up in the business
lunch. On the Steve Bertrand.
Yeah.
Did you get your guest yet for the funeral?
How to make money at your family's funeral.
Right, exactly. Still working on that.
That's coming up, but if you stay with us until 12:45.
All right. Now, Mike Steven is filling in for John Williams today because John is doing what?
Yeah, it's hard to believe I'm here for a jumble event.
I know. They must be paying you a bundle.
You're not enough, really, but I'm not working, and somebody flew me in, so I said, yeah.
Cool.
But the creators of Jumble, it's 60 years old, and the guys that are doing it these days are really fun guys, and they've been on my show several times, which is weird because it's such a visual thing. But I like them. They've got fans, and I like talking to them. And they
say, so are you going to be solving jumbles?
Yes.
You are.
Doing a human jumble where you wear letters on your T-shirt.
Oh, that'll be funny.
That's cool.
If this goes well, we might have a national giant jumble convention. So I'm emceeing this bad boy.
So the letters on jumble that are circled are the letters that are in the final puzzles to be solved.
Correct.
Okay, so you're going to put numbers on people and move them around.
One of the things we'll be doing, we'll be solving old jumble puzzles and new jumble puzzles, and the guys will be, if you have a good pun, because a pun is part of it.
Okay.
For instance, I'm going to say, let me just run this by you.
Okay.
Hi, glad you could be here. Welcome. We're really glad you're here. I was up late last night and wait. Okay, hi, glad you're here. Really glad you're here. In order to get ready for today's event, last night I had the perfect meal.
Yes. I don't get it.
Jambalaya.
That's a good way to start.
Jambalaya would be what would be the perfect meal for John to have before the big event?
Right. And jambalaya. Then and then pause for laughter.
Well, sure, they'll all laugh.
They'll be all over that.
They'll be out of that room.
It's a jumble crowd. So they'll love that, right?
Jumble crowd.
Okay,
yeah, right.
So
then we're all going to do fun stuff like that for a couple hours.
Okay.
And then I'll get on an airplane and fly back to Minneapolis.
And where's this going to be?
On the hall?
On seven.
Yeah, one of the
Are there people assembling now, even as we speak?
Yes, yes.
Is there food?
Yes, in fact, some of them
go.
Are.
Oh, Steve,
we're
you
going
have to do
1 o'clock.
Steve has to do the business lunch.
It's
what?
The business lunch.
Do you get lunch from the business lunch?
You should broadcast from there.
Right.
Hey, can I ask you a different question?
Sure.
So you guys aren't on Monday through Friday. I am in Minnesota.
Yes.
Have you guys been talking or thinking much, say, even here this weekend about the Hillary thing and
the email?
You mean the email thing?
Yeah.
We should call Mike back.
Why?
I'm sure Mike knows about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
See,
Mike would know about that.
That's not even, I mean, maybe that isn't a partisan event, but it's
right.
A real thing. She should have been using a government sponsored
right.
Address.
You know, maybe she didn't know how to sign on. You know?
That happens to people all the time.
Okay.
She created her own domain. I mean,
people who are like pontificators have said they think in the long run it's not going to be that big an issue.
I think you're right, Judy. There's no smoking gun there. Until we find the email that she was hiding via her personal account, which says something awful or nefarious or illegal, then...
Have they had access to all of those?
They say they have. But can I just say where fiction becomes fact?
Sure.
Coming up on the business lunch.
Yes. You're talking about that.
Brett Ahrens from MarketWatch.com, and one of the things he wrote this week is how it won't amount to much.
Did you tell John to bring this up?
No.
To promote your noontime show?
But here's what I think, John, why it's not... I mean, you know, the Benghazi group in the House wants to bring it up again. But I think every politician is doing it. Right, so it's going to be hard to throw stones.
Is doing
Jeb Bush
private
did something
emails.
Very similar.
Okay.
I think they all have email
Colin
issues.
Powell did.
And I think, and I
even
think,
though it does seem to be wrong, you know, inappropriate.
Well, if you're the Secretary, Sarah Palin did, Mitt Romney did, but if you're the Secretary of State of the United States and you're doing government business, how in the world does it not occur to you to do that on the government website on the with your government email?
It seems doesn't seem in
for archives.
Right.
No,
right.
For legal
reasons, agreed. Agreed. So, I think one of Hillary's bigger problems is going to be, there's a lot of talk now, and it's probably all on Fox News, but about who is funding the Clinton Foundation.
Oh, that's come up because they've taken donations from foreign governments,
right.
Which
yeah.
is funny, right? I mean,
Well, it's dicey.
Well, is that not allowed?
Well, I mean, you can accept donations from who you want to accept donations
you're
from.
You're a foundation. You're not an agency of the government.
Right. It's not a campaign fund.
Right.
Even
so.
Still.
What?
What's the problem with taking money from a foreign government?
If you want to be the president,
The
foundation was established after Bill Clinton left office.
Right.
And by association,
funny,
you are
though.
Connected
I,
to
I know
that.
What you're saying, and you're right. And the idea is that, she's taking money from Dubai,
right?
And so will that play? Well, first of all, it's a foundation. It's not her campaign,
exactly.
Right? So there's that. But it's like, she's taking money from Dubai. This would be awful. But we don't consider that it's okay when it comes to different groups in the U.S., right? I mean...
You mean like to PACs and stuff like that?
Right.
But we don't know that, do we? I mean, isn't a lot of PAC funding kind of under the radar?
Well, commercial spending is now. You know, when people buy campaigns and things like that.
Well, there's a firewall between the campaign and what PACs do, so that PACs can run attack ads,
right.
But the candidate says,
supposedly they know nothing about it, right, which is so, so disingenuous.
Totally agree, yeah.
Just bull.
Because you say to them, why don't you then tell the that ad to stop, and they say,
I don't have any control,
right. Right. That's
right.
That's a totally separate entity. Yeah. But if we were to look and see, I imagine that the state of Israel is making donations to certain conservative PACs because that connection with conservative groups in the United States and Israel.
Yeah, I'm sure money one way or another going back.
Right. But I'm asking, is that viewable? Is that knowable?
Well,
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know that, but I would be surprised if the Israeli government is funding, is paying, you know, private lobbyists.
It's probably
an
Israeli PAC.
If somebody dug up and found out that some agency of the Israeli government is helping Republicans get in office or stay in office, I would not be surprised.
I wouldn't either. I mean, I find the connection fascinating that so much of the support for Israel comes from United States conservative groups. Groups tend to be totally supportive of Israel's position in the Middle East.
Well, Netanyahu's speech before the Congress looked like a State of the Union.
And your that caller earlier, you know, was upset about
Mike.
The coverage of it.
Yes.
And he was upset about that Netanyahu's speech didn't get more analysis, what he had to say. But I think the fact that speech happened to me is monumental.
I'm
sorry, what
huge.
Is monumental, Steve?
The fact that Netanyahu was invited and came and gave that speech. I mean,
without the approval of the president.
Well, not even approval or, they should have been
spoken to the U.S. Congress before.
But never, I don't know that a branch of government has ever invited a foreign leader to come and speak to them directly against another branch
that is
of government.
The thing. That is the thing. It's not that he was there, but it's that he used our platform to criticize our policy, which has been developed in our own interests. Yes. I know he's critical of it because it's not good enough for Israel, but it's the policy of the United States.
Right.
I thought it was horrible that he used that to criticize us on our turf.
And right. Stupid on his part, I think.
I don't know.
And horrible also that he was invited. I mean, it was a completely political thing. And I have talked to people, and I don't know when it ever has happened before. I mean, it would be like Obama going to, you know, it doesn't quite work in England because it's, but you know, if
one of the Labour Party had invited Obama to come and speak to Parliament,
to rip on David Cameron,
exactly,
you know,
right.
not to talk, I mean, to directly rip on the policies of David Cameron.
Right. Right.
You know, that's what he was doing. He wasn't saying we need to be protected. He was saying what Obama is doing is bad.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Kathy.
I had an interesting conversation with somebody the other day about how we tend to get our undies in a bundle over things like this, over politics, over what's on television, whatever. And the truth is, the bottom line is that the average person... Not the average person without a mic, because I know having a microphone gives me an advantage. But the average person out there in the world that's got their undies in a bundle can't do a damn thing about it. They can vote. They can vote.
You mean if they don't like the fact that Netanyahu spoke or Hillary's
right,
emails
right,
were
exactly, exactly. You can go on your Facebook page. You can post something that you pulled off Fox or the Daily Signal or something like that. But in terms of real-life effect on any freaking thing, zero.
So what's your point?
Zero.
Your point is that we shouldn't be too worried about it because it...
No, not that we shouldn't be too worried about it. I think the conversations about it are important, but the truth is we're not the people that are going to make anything happen.
Don't you think we're more empowered now than we used to be? I mean,
we mean because of social media?
Yes.
Jude, what?
I don't think we have that much more power because of social media.
Well,
I think politics operates in its own little
vacuum. Right.
Yeah, their own little bubble.
Yeah, yeah.
I really don't think anything... I mean, can you point to anything that you feel has been affected by a surge of feeling issue?
Well, the Hillary email scandal was revealed by a hacker. I mean, it was an individual, you know, some knucklehead in a basement.
Right. Revelations. Oh, here's what we found out. Somebody hacked into somebody's account. But in terms of doing anything...
It's not a policy changer.
Right.
I think the last time that average people... were able to do something about big issues like this was the protests against the Vietnam War. I think certainly there have been protests against what has happened in the Middle East.
The Arab Spring mattered, and that was average citizens, right? That was.
Oh, that's a good point.
Well,
that wasn't.
Selma
yeah,
mattered.
That was in other countries, and most of it's been overturned since then. But,
and the Bloody Sunday ultimately did matter. It changed policy.
You mean Selma?
Yeah,
but that was 50 years ago.
Well, but what about Ferguson and what happened in Brooklyn? I mean, I'm just.
But nothing has changed.
Yeah, but
I think things
you're
have changed from that. Yeah.
Then
I think
changes are coming on some of these issues. Literally, don't you think that in time, in the near term, prosecutors and police have to rethink how they handle people of color in this country?
Of course they do.
And
I think it's already started.
And it started why? Because of what we saw on the internet and what people were able to record on their cameras.
Right.
And we're changing the way we sentence people to prison now.
Good. Fine. So that somewhere down the road, they owe $500.
This is all very fascinating and interesting, but I have to go to a jumble event. So if you'll excuse me.
Okay,
John.
Yeah, and work that jambalaya line real good.
Yeah, let us know how that goes, will you?
Laughter down the hall.
It's the jambalaya line.
And they'll be laughing with you.
Right.
Okay.
Nice to see you guys. You guys sound as good as ever, by the way. We listen on Brenda's personal device back at home.
And, don't say that to them, John.
Or what?
Yeah. I can't imagine,
what
is something we can market?
Can you make...
Again, my wife and daughter are listening right now. Okay.
We've discussed this before.
Nice to see you, Steve.
All right, don't go away. We want to take a picture, too. We're going to take a break, and we're going to take pictures. Kathy, Kathy and Judy back. We're glad some of you are listening because you're getting phone calls from you, and you can still call 312-981-7200. We also can take your texts on the text line at that same number, 312-981-7200. This is not an earth-shaking issue, but it's something I've had on my topic list for several weeks, and perhaps somebody who's listening has exactly the answer. I was watching a Burger King ad on television, and it was for some Burger King special. I can't even remember what the special was. But there was a tag at the end of the commercial that said, "Price is higher in AK and HI." That's Arkansas and Hawaii, right? Is AK
right.
Alaska or Arkansas? I don't know. Alaska. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii. Is that, would the prices be higher because the stuff has to go farther?
I think absolutely.
Except it depends where it's coming from. If it was coming from California, it would be farther to get to New York than it would be to get to Hawaii. Has anybody else ever...
Maybe they have higher taxes there, too.
In Alaska and Hawaii?
Uh-huh. Everything's expensive in Hawaii. I mean, a gallon of milk is like $10. I mean, it's crazy.
So if I go to a Burger King or a McDonald's or any chain in Hawaii, things that I expect to buy here for $1.49 might easily be twice that?
Well, it's been a long time since I've been to Hawaii, but their stuff was... This was, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago. Much more expensive food. I guess transport or something.
I guess that what threw me off was the Hawaii thing I kind of got, but this is one of those Gracie moments. I thought AK was Arkansas.
What is Arkansas?
AR.
Okay. So AK is Alaska. And then it makes a little bit more sense. Okay.
Do you know what I've been thinking about?
No, Judy.
I've been thinking, when is granite going to become out of date? Like, I want to redo my counters, but
okay.
I don't want to do granite because I think I'm getting in on the last of the granite phase.
That's interesting because I saw an online story somewhat recently in the last month that said stainless steel appliances are going out of date. And that in 5 years or 10 years, we will look back on stainless steel appliances and say, oh, that's so early 21st century.
And what will we be looking at in our kitchens?
Granite countertops? It doesn't seem like granite countertops should go out of style. It seems
that's what
like
they said about Formica.
Well, I mean, Formica... I have Formica countertops.
Oops.
So when I redid my kitchen and I looked at the comparative prices of granite countertops or what's the other thing you can get? What's the other kind of countertop you can get? Marble? What is it?
Oh, quartz.
Quartz, okay. That was maybe five times as much as Formica. And considering the amount of time that I tend to spend in the kitchen, it seemed like I would go with the less expensive option.
We all know you have Formica. People talk about it.
Do they?
Yeah.
What do you have, Steve?
Granite.
Granite? I don't think it's that easy to keep clean. I got some granite up in a kitchen. And
it's not like it should be, is it? It's like, no, it's not that easy.
When I had my apartment up on Melrose, my condo up on Melrose, and I got, they were an advertiser at the time, Granite Transformations, although I didn't get a break. I was paying retail.
Get used to it, baby.
Where they put it right on top of your current counter, that you don't have to take out the old counter, and they just put this granite countertop on top of it. I had that for 4 or 5 years, and I thought that was fabulous. You could put hot things on it, but it was, aren't all granite countertops like an aggregate? Don't they sort of chew it up and then put it all together in an aggregate, or is there some granite that you get in slabs? I don't have a sense of
no,
that.
No, you go to like a warehouse and pick out a slab.
Yeah, that's
granite.
Right. Big
okay.
Honking pieces of
all right.
Granite.
Well, what Granite Transformations is, it's all the stuff that falls off. It's somehow they take what gets cut off or what falls off and they grind it all up and so that you can get a totally uniform color and everything else. And I loved that. And in fact, we have an answer? Tom? Hey, Tom?
Oh, I was just sort of funny how you tied the shipping and the granite. The reason granite, and it's the same here as in Italy, is, you know, people want granite from Italy for some reason, but it's more money. And the only reason it's the same as over here, but the reason it's more money because of the shipping, period.
I know they want marble from Italy, but yeah.
Well, marble is the same, marble here. It's the same marble here, but the reason it's more expensive is because of the shipping. That's it.
Are you in the granite business?
No, but I bought some, and I think granite's going out. So,
what's going to replace it? If you think it's going out, what will replace it?
Probably. I don't know.
There's concrete countertops.
You want to be ahead of the curve for the next.
Right.
Cutting edge.
You don't want your kitchen to scream 2002.
Right. But so, hey, good show. I'm listening on my phone.
Excellent. We're glad you're very cutting edge.
I figured out my 12-year-old next door to help you figure it out.
Just ask a kid. They'll tell you how to do it.
Thanks. Good show. Thanks,
Tom. Thanks for the call. And aren't they going to run out? Does Italy have untapped supplies of marble and granite?
I don't know that all the granite is from Italy.
Is it from here? Are there granite quarries in the United States?
Isn't Pennsylvania it's a coal state, not a granite state.
Yeah.
There's a granite state somewhere.
That's in the Northeast, isn't it? Like New Hampshire. Yeah.
Okay. At some point, won't we run out of that stuff? It seems to me that that's something that's going to happen before.
You know what we've run out of?
What?
Show.
Well, not completely. We still have a little bit of time left. But thank you to all of you who stuck with us. This was a very crazy technological day. And thank you to Bob Ferguson, engineer extraordinaire, who's been running around like crazy. Thank you to Kristen Decker, who I reached out to at 9:45 and went, help, I'm afraid.
And we're not all going away.
No. Oh, that's right.
The business lunch.
Exactly. Steve Bertrand is going to be here with his fine business lunch. And Steve, just give us some highlights from that.
Actually, there's some pretty cool stuff. There was a study out of Stanford where they talked about teamwork, and that teamwork works better, really, the whole idea that there's no I in team. Well, really, you need to find a way to put an I in team, because even though you're dividing people up to work in teams, if you give them an opportunity for individual success or reward, those teams tend to do better.
Oh, cool.
I like that theory. Yeah.
Okay.
And a guy who wants to bring a foodseum to Chicago.
What's that?
Like a museum about food. And he wants to do it along Chicago River. It would be the processed meat. He wants to start with processed meat.
Does John Williams still have that Big Mac from 30 years ago?
I don't know.
That would be perfect for that.
That's coming up.
All right.
Other stuff, too.